In some places in this country, American Marxists are overrunning the streets. Many of them have been vastly misinformed by some modern historians. One of the most influential has been the late Howard Zinn. There's a book, in fact, called Debunking Howard Zinn. I think it's a must-read in our day. Mary Graybar is the author of this book. She has taught at the college level for two decades, including at Emory University. Dr. Mary Graybar has also written a new book, and it's all about the 1619 Project. The 1619 Project, which has been endorsed by the New York Times, is actually part of the New York Times. It postulates that America's founding centered around the subject of slavery. In other words, slavery, instead of being an aberration, something that was inconsistent with America, it's at the very heart of its founding. It's in our DNA, as some people have put it. 1619 is the year in which African slaves were first brought to America. That would be in Jamestown. So Dr. Mary Graybar, her new book is Debunking the 1619 Project, Exposing the Plan to Divide America. This is Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and we welcome back to the program Dr. Mary Graybar. Dr. Graybar, it's great to have you on the program again. Thank you so much for joining us.
Well, thanks for the invitation.
Sure. Okay, so why don't you tell us about the 1619 Project itself, going beyond whatever I said in the introduction?
Yeah, well, I think, you know, what you pointed out, that the thesis is that slavery is in our DNA. You know, if you want to talk about the DNA, it would be in the DNA of the entire world, because one of the things I do in debunking the 1619 Project is I provide context, which the 1619 Project does not have. So the thesis of the 1619 Project is that this country was really founded when the first Africans arrived in Jamestown in 1619. And these were the first slaves. Now, historians are still debating about what their exact status was, because when they arrived, the vast majority of people here were poor whites who were indentured servants. These Africans worked alongside them. Some of the Africans themselves then bought slaves and acquired land. So it's a very dubious kind of history. It's made up, basically. And the intent is to eliminate 1776 as our founding and replace it with 1619. So we should not celebrate the 4th of July, but we should have these, dirge-like acknowledgments of slavery continually. So that is the purpose of it. And the intent, as I said in my subtitle, is to divide America.
Now, can you explain where the New York Times fits in, and then also how they won a Pulitzer Prize related to this?
Yeah, well, Nicole Hannah-Jones, the creator of this project, is a reporter at the New York Times, and she came up with the idea in January. And, you know, so sometime in August of 1619, these Africans, you know, arrived on a privateering ship. We don't know exactly when, but she proposed this, and she gathered together all these various journalists and artists and creative writers, a smattering of historians, and they put together this concoction of essays, of creative writing, of photographs, put it together, and it was a special issue that came out. It was actually a special issue of the New York Times magazine. It was just a magazine issue. And they also had a 15-page newspaper insert. Since then, about a year ago, last November, a hardcover edition has come out, expanded. And the New York Times actually owns that copyright along with Nicole Hannah-Jones. So this is a big money-making venture for the New York Times.
Well, when you say in January, certainly you don't mean in January of 2022. You're referring to maybe a couple years ago.
Right.
Okay. Now, when the 1619 Project actually, in its earlier versions, it held that the American Revolution was fought over the issue of slavery, and then a lot of prominent historians weighed in and saying, I'm sorry, but that's just nonsense, and that's utterly untrue. So they had to backpedal on that particular point. Do you care to make any further comments?
Yeah, well, there were these stealth edits in the middle of the night that were never acknowledged, and then some, you know, observers picked them up. I think Phil Magnus was one of them, and they noticed that the wording had been slightly changed. So it was changed to some of the colonists were concerned about England abolishing slavery. While technically two of them, you have some, right? So it's very imprecise. And they made some corrections, you know, that it was an English colony, not a British colony, but these were all stealth edits and, never acknowledged to be errors. And I might point out that, these historians, a lot of them are on the left, Sean Wilentz primarily among them, sort of leading the charge and saying, you know, you're going to discredit, history, especially our type of left-wing history, if you, you know, promote these obvious falsehoods. And then also Leslie Harris, who was hired to sort of be a historical fact checker, she had made some corrections, but they were ignored. And she revealed that about a year after the project came out. So we know that this is a project that pretends to be historical, but it deliberately ignores what historians from all sides of the political spectrum are saying.
Well, it's my understanding that even the creator of all this, Nicole Hannah Jones, she is not even an historian.
No, she's a journalist. She has specialized in race-related issues. She was writing about her daughter's school and segregated schools in New York City. This was an idea that she had from her high school days. A high school teacher had actually introduced her to the work of a magazine writer by the name of Lerone Bennett. And he had written a book called Before the Mayflower, which is not accurate history. It's more historical than the 1619 Project, but she remembered that. So this is basically a journalist who focuses on race issues, who is making up this project based on her high school reading of a magazine writer, an Ebony magazine writer.
And yet, despite all this mess, I understand that there is a curriculum that's been derived based on the whole 1619 Project, and it's actually in some of our schools.
Oh, it's in very many of our schools, and it's, sort of expanded into various forms, and it's, you know, being promoted by a number of different outlets. And I think that's what got people upset. No one would really care what the New York Times Magazine publishes. We know the bias of that newspaper. We really don't care. No one's trying to censor them. But there were pre-made lesson plans, directions for teachers, worksheets, readings that were ready for the first day of school. So the project comes out on August 18th, 2019, first day of school. 3,500 schools have the lessons for the teachers. That grows quickly to 4,500 schools. Some school districts have adopted it. The Buffalo School District is one, a big school district. And it's also been promoted by the Pulitzer Center, which is a nonprofit not associated with the Pulitzer Prize, and all these other nonprofit educational institutions are also distributing lessons and readings on the 1619 Project. So a good bet is that any student in a public school will probably have exposure to the 1619 Project.
And again, the essence of the 1619 Project is the idea that America's real beginning is not 1776 when the founders declared independence, but rather it is 1619 when the first African slaves came to America. Are there any schools that you know of, Dr. Graybar, where they actually initially started teaching this and then there was so much pushback or the teachers themselves said, come on, this is nonsense as far as history is concerned, and so they dropped it?
I don't know of any schools that have done that, but I think about 15 states have passed legislation forbidding the use of critical race theory and the 1619 Project. Some of them specify the 1619 Project. Others have language that were forbid the use of the 1619 Project because it promotes racial division. It presents, you know, white people as guilty and black people as victims. So that would cover it. So, you know, what happened was that the various states took this on. They saw how grossly, you know, unhistorical this project was, how full of errors it was. It hadn't been vetted like normal curriculum products are. And so they passed laws.
It is such a shame that America, which honestly, people risk their lives to try to get here. And you wonder why. I mean, this country stinks and it's always stunk, according to the left. Somebody should go to the southern border and tell everybody, hey, turn around. America is terrible. It's racist. It's always been racist. The 1619 Project proves it so. Of course, I'm speaking with tongue in cheek, but it really is ironic when you consider this assault on American history.
Well, that's an idea. I think they should translate it into Spanish and hand it out.
Yeah, that might solve our southern border problem. No, I'm just kidding.
But yeah, that's what I mean.
Yeah, right. I know. You know, it's amazing how the founders get zero credit. I mean, for example, the founder said, and this is before William Wilberforce's successful crusade in England to stop the slave trade. Then later he, of course, got the slaves to be freed in the British Empire. But anyway, the founder said that within 20 years of the Constitution going into effect, there will be an end to the slave trade. But they get virtually no credit for that. It was way ahead of their times.
Yeah, and this is at a time when slavery and servitude are the normal status for most human beings. I mean, you know, if you were to go to another place in the world, you know, to Africa, you know, which is where the slaves were captured by, you know, nearby tribes and sold to Europeans. If you went to Russia, you'd have the serfs. You had indentured servants. You know, that was the normal thing. The idea of freedom was new. And, you know, this country paved the way so that now we think of anyone who lives in servitude as being oppressed and being backwards. You know, that country is backwards. But that was the normal, you know, normal situation back then. And so the reverse is actually true from what the 1619 Project sets out.
Isn't that amazing? We're basically out of time, but I have enough time for you to give your website.
Okay. My website is marygraybar.com. That's G-R-A-B-A-R. And I also have one called dissidentprof.com. And I encourage people to sign up for my newsletter there.
All right. Thank you so much for being with us, Dr. Mary Graybar.
Thank you.